Well, we're in a short little series called Christmas Playlist. We've taken a look at some of the Christmas carols and a couple of them, just broadening our perception of what they are and what they're all about. Today we're going to take a look at a Christmas carol that is probably one of the most popular, and it just seems to be one of those Christmas carols that transcends time, it transcends culture, denominational barriers. It has brought peace to many people, and it's the song Silent Night. Many people actually would say that it is one of their favorite Christmas carols. It's really truly been considered one of the most beloved. It was actually a Christmas carol that was born out of crisis. So it wasn't because somebody just was very inspired and really felt the presence of God to write this poem. It was actually because of a very desperate need. The gentleman who wrote it, his name is Joseph Moore. He was German, and he wrote it in the year 1818. Joseph Moore was born in the year 1792 in Salzburg, Austria. And in 1815, he was ordained a Catholic priest, a Roman Catholic priest, and he was serving as an assistant at the Church of St. Nicholas in Oberndorf on December 24th in the year 1818, Moore discovered that the church's organ had broken down. He had already planned all of the music for the Christmas Eve service, but this kind of put a damper on all of that planned music, and so scrambling to salvage the service, Joseph Moore decided to write a new song that could be played without the organ, something with a very simple message and a very simple tune. And so he penned the words to Stille Nacht, Heilige Nacht. Silent Night, Holy Night. And he rushed those words over to the organist, Franz Gruber, so that a melody could be composed. And that evening, the poem was sung for the very first time, written in only one day, music composed in only one day, because they had to have something. So it was a song born out of crisis. The words in the song, Silent Night, were published for the first time in a congregational hymnal in 1838, so 20 years after the song was written. A German hymnal put it in as one of their songs. The song was translated into its current English form in 1859 by an Episcopalian priest in New York named John Freeman Young. So if you see a copy of Silent Night, oftentimes it will say Joseph Moore, translated by John Freeman Young. And that was almost 40 years after the song was written. But John Freeman Young, he only took three of the original six verses and translated it into English. Silent Night didn't really become popular, though, in our general public until a guy you might know who was not necessarily a Christian man, but he popularized the song because he added it to one of his Christmas albums, and that guy was named Bing Crosby. And after he sang the song, now all of a sudden, everybody loved the song. He recorded it first in 1935. In February, it became part of his annual Christmas records. In modern day, there's an organization called Songdex. They track music, and they have this company, Songdex, which is known as the world's most authoritative registry of music rights and related business information, has said that Silent Night has been recorded 137,315 times. Spotify, for those of you who know what Spotify is, says that Silent Night is the most covered Christmas song ever, having been recorded by 26,500 different recording artists for their various albums. It has been done in country western form. It has been done in rap form. It has been done as a ballad. It has been done as a lullaby. it has even been done as a rock and roll piece of music. Second place is the song White Christmas, which has been covered 20,700 times. And in 10th place is the song Away in a Manger, with barely 10,000 covers. As popular as the song is, the German poem actually sounds quite different. It took me a little bit of time to find the actual words, but I want to just read the poem, Silent Night, that was original in the German. I'm not going to read it in German, but with the English translation. Verse 1. Silent night, holy night, all's asleep, one soul light. Just the faithful and holy pair, lovely boy child with curly hair. Sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, God's sun laughs, oh how bright. Love from your holy lips shines clear as the dawn of salvation draws near. Jesus, Lord, with your birth. Jesus, Lord, with your birth. Silent night, holy night, brought the world peace tonight. From the heaven's golden height shows the grace of his holy might. Jesus as man on this earth. Jesus as man on this earth. Verse 4, silent night, holy night, where today all the might of his fatherly love us graced, and then Jesus as brother embraced. All the peoples on earth, all the peoples on earth. Verse 5, silent night, holy night, long we hoped that he might, as our Lord, free us of wrath. Since times of our fathers he hath promised to spare all mankind, promised to spare all mankind. And number 6, silent night, holy night, shepherds first see the sight told by angelic Alleluia, sounding everywhere, both near and far, Christ the Savior is here. Christ the Savior is here. It sounds way different than the English version that John Freeman Young wrote and that we remember. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight. Glories stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing alleluia. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. And the third verse, silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. When thinking about this Christmas carol, we are confronted immediately with one word over and over and over, and that word is silent. Silent night. Now be honest, most of us are a little bit intimidated by silence. We just can't seem to function in silence. Many people have to have a radio going or they have to have something happening. Silence is one of those things that kind of intimidates us. We need sound. We need those earbuds in our ears. We've got to have some kind of music. We can't just be quiet. We need sound, we need noise, we need something going on. We really don't like it when we just have to be quiet. Oh, there are times, you know, when silence is golden, unless you have children and then silence is suspicious. But we tend to like commotion and noise. We tend to become uncomfortable with silence, although most people, studies say, sleep better when it's completely silent, yet there are always going to be those people that have to have that white noise. We have to have that that sound of the waves or the, you know, something, a fan going something. We've got to have some kind of sound. It's just part of what we think is our nature. So the night when Jesus was born, and we do know that he was born at night, at least the shepherds were told about his birth at night. So the night that Jesus was born, was it silent? Well, they didn't have cars and airplanes and trucks and things running up and down the streets of Bethlehem, so they didn't have to worry about that. Back in that culture, when the sun went down, people pretty much went into their homes. There weren't any Nintendos to play. There weren't any movies to watch, no Hallmark movies. There wasn't stuff to do that provided with a lot of noise. So yeah, it likely was a silent night when Jesus was born, just simply because they didn't have all the distractions. It was highly likely that when the sun went down in ancient Israel, people were in their homes, city gates closed, people weren't traveling. In fact, travel was discouraged once the sun went down because of the highwaymen and the robbers that were outside of the city. So likely it was a silent night, except there was a mom who was in labor. And I can't imagine that was very silent. And then when the baby was born, there was probably crying. So except for the mom in labor and the screaming infant part, it probably was kind of silent. Maybe the night was silent on that Christmas Eve when Joseph Moore wrote the poem. It was written in 1818. They probably didn't have all of the sounds of the city that a lot of people have. Besides, he was kind of out in the country in that area in Oberndorf by Salzburg, Austria. So maybe he was in a time of silence, but he needed something. He needed a song. It was Christmas Eve. He couldn't have writer's block. So silence was not going to be a good thing if he couldn't come up with something. And fortunately, the Holy Spirit broke through the silence of the organ with a poem and a simple melody that was played on a guitar. And I think that's part of the beauty of this poem. Part of the beauty of the carol, Silent Night, is it's not all about the silence. It's actually about God breaking the silence. It's actually about God screaming into people's silence. The very first verse describes that when it describes with the words, "Round yon virgin, mother and child." The Episcopal priest, Mr. Young, what he is talking about here is that God broke the silence that happened between the time that the promise was made and the time that it finally happened. We read that promise from Isaiah. A woman will be with child, a virgin will be with child, and she will bring forth a son. And now in the book of Luke, we find the words that a virgin gave birth to a son. Every time I think of this verse in the Christmas carol, Silent Night, I always think of a story that I read about a Sunday school teacher, and this Sunday school teacher was wanting to help her young students, understand a little bit about the Christmas account in Scripture. And so she read the account, and then she gave them all paper and colors, crayons, magic markers, whatever, and she said, "I want you to draw something about the story, the Christmas story." And so they were all busy with their crayons and colors and things, and so she's walking around looking at each one, and one little boy had a picture of a manger scene with a mom and a dad and a little something in a manger, and then down in the corner was somebody who was quite fat. And so she thought maybe Santa Claus or something like that. And so she said, I see that you've got a pretty nice picture here. You've got mother and child and father. But who is this?" And the little boy just looked up very shockingly and said, "Well, it's just like in the song. That's Round Yon Virgin." Round John Virgin. But to me, the words that this author is trying to describe is a silence that was broken. When Isaiah first promised that a virgin would be with child, That happened 700 years before Jesus actually was born. That's a long time to be silent. If you don't think that you can handle even maybe a minute worth of silence, imagine trying to handle 700 years worth of silence. Generations came and went before the promise was fulfilled, but at the right time, God spoke. God kept his word, even though there was a lengthy period of time, and he's still keeping his promise. The second way that God spoke into the silence is found in verse 2. Shepherds quake at the sight. We talked about that last week a little bit. The angels broke the silence and a heavenly host proclaimed the good news of Jesus' birth to the shepherds. And in their terror, they saw the glory of God proclaimed to the highest. Glory streamed from heaven afar. Heavenly hosts sang, Alleluia, Christ the Savior is born. I mean, the proclamation can't get any much more clear. And in the silence of their night, all of a sudden God broke in, thus breaking a 400-year silence when God neither spoke through scriptures nor prophet. It's the time from the end of the prophet Malachi to the very beginning of Matthew. There's a 400-year time frame when God didn't speak. But now he does. And he spoke to the angel. He spoke to the shepherds from the angels. And even though God was silent, he will not stay silent forever. He will. His glories will stream through. And the third way that God broke the silence was when he spoke redemption into the world that was silenced by guilt due to their obvious sinful nature. God came to this virgin and he has always wanted to speak into people's lives, as he did in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 9, when he spoke into Samuel's life, and Samuel at first didn't understand what was going on, but then later he was informed that he was supposed to just be quiet and say, okay, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And that's exactly what happened with Mary. God spoke into her life, and she finally relinquished control. She gave up the desire and the need to know all of the details. And she simply said, I am here as your servant. And when God came, he spoke redemption into the world that was silenced by sin. And as he spoke that redemption into their lives, just like the third verse says, silent night, holy night, Son of God, loves pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace, the silence was broken, and suddenly salvation was at hand. He broke through the silence of people who believed that they didn't have a purpose in life, people who didn't believe that they had a meaning in life because maybe the voices of sin or the voices of hatred or the voices of the rest of the world were crowding out the voice of God. And so God broke through that silence of purpose, that silence of meaning, that silence where people feel like I don't have any value if I don't have money or if I don't have prestige or if I don't have power, if I don't have a heritage or if I don't have a name behind me. God breaks through that. And he speaks his redemption into our lives. We mean something to God because he speaks redemption into our lives through the forgiveness of sin by his grace, and all he asks is that we respond to it, just exactly like what Bob said during his communion meditation. The grace is there. The forgiveness is available. But you need to listen to that voice, and you need to respond to it. Because you see, he will always be here. He will always be speaking into the silence of our lives, so that his redemption can be known. Silent Night is a great hymn. It's a great chorus. It's a great Christmas carol. But if we don't get to the part of God's redemption, then we've missed the whole point of the carol. It was born out of crisis. It was born out of a need to not have silence, even though much of what it talks about is very peaceful and very silent. So because God is still and always will be Lord of our lives, we can say those final words at the end of verse 3, Jesus, Lord at thy birth. Jesus, Lord at thy birth. Don't let him just be the Lord at his birth. Let him be the Lord within your life. Because that's what he's speaking into each and every one of us. Are you listening? Because our Lord is speaking.